Acts chapter 2, we're continuing our series on standing firm, and today we're going to be talking about standing firm in God's place, standing firm in God's place. I didn't want to give the title of that to the message this morning, but something a little more provocative, something to make us think about why we are here, So it said, thought-provoking. Why are we here? Why are you here this morning? Why did you get out of bed to come to Caseysville Bible Church to be here? Today was a great morning to sleep in, wasn't it? Yeah? I don't know, it just seems like on Sundays that kind of can hit you, can it? You just want to be there and knock it out of bed. It just feels so good. Today would have been a great morning to go fishing, wouldn't it, Brian? Yep, good morning to get out there, cast your line out, and just take in God's creation. Why are you here? It's interesting that some of the statistics that you say about folks in America, somewhere right now, the same as we are in America, there's somewhere between 50 and 100 million other people that are at church right now. They say that's about what the statistics are. Somewhere between 20 and 40% of Americans are in church right now. So why? Why, dude, we come here? Why do people go to church? Why do you go to church? Some people, you ask that question and they have different answers that they give to you of why they go to church. Some people say, well, hey, it's what we always do. It's what we always do. Get up on Sunday and get ready. Maybe we have breakfast together. Maybe we have brunch together if church starts later. And we come and we just go to church. It's just kind of, it's what we always do. Some people say, well, the reason I come to church is, pastor, because it keeps me grounded. It keeps me grounded. It keeps me good with God. Some people say that it inspires me to go to church. It inspires me. Why do you come to church? What's the importance of church? Some people say, hey, the reason I come to church is because I want to see my friends. I want to see my friends. Some people have even called it what? The poor man's social club. Why? Because there's no entry to get in. There's no fee to get in, is there? We don't have anyone standing back there collecting fees at the door to get in. No. There was a guy one time, I was talking with him over at Grace. They don't go there anymore. Hey, I just saw there's one more jug. All right. Put that back there. There was a man over at Grace Bible Church that came one time and he said that he was there to collect insurance contacts that he may get insurance from people. There's many different reasons why we may come to church. From what is your reason for coming today? What is your reason for coming, for being here? And I think there's no greater place than we can look at than in Acts chapter 2, and we see one of the first public services, really the first public service that was had, the church of the first century. The church of the first century. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 14. But as we go through this message, think of why we are here. What is our purpose for being here? What does God want for me? Especially, specifically here at Caseysville Bible Church. Acts 2 and verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, He lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. He's saying, listen, hearken to my words. I want you to hear what I have to say. He says, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. And so what is he saying? There was a group of people that gathered there together, okay? And the start of the counting of the hours began at 6 a.m. in the morning. So he said this was the third hour of the day. So what time was it? 9 a.m., okay? 9 a.m. If you're drunk at 9 a.m., you have a drinking problem. You have a drinking problem. They said that these are not drunken because it's just the third hour of the day. It's only 9 in the morning. What was he saying here? These people were coming together. They were laughing. They were having a good time. They were merry. And they didn't have any alcohol in them. They were just happy to be there. They were happy to be in Christ. They were happy to be around other believers. They were enjoying themselves. And what a great thing that was. He says, listen, he says, the prophet Joel, he wants to tell you something. And this is what he says. It shall come to pass, verse 17, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And so what is he saying? He's saying this right here. This is the beginning of the last days. This is the beginning of the last days. For 2,000 years, we have been living in the last days. To us, that kind of seems weird because we hear something that's last. But for it to last for 2,000 years, it's like, man, it kind of should have ended a long time ago. But when does the end of the last days come? The end of the last days comes whenever Jesus sets his foot on this earth to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. And so he's saying that this is the beginning of the last days. He's pour out his spirit, the blood and fire. We know some of those things talk about Revelation and go back to there. And this is what he says. He says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what's he saying there? He's saying you get saved by calling out to God. You get saved by asking God. You get saved by calling on Jesus. You get saved by believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior. This great prophet that they said, this man of God that they said, he is God. He came, he died on the cross, he gave his blood, because that's what God required of a sacrifice, blood. There's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And he says, you can be saved by calling on him, by believing in Jesus. This is what they were telling them at the first church service. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. He's saying this man came. And verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He said, you did all of these things, but guess what? God is in control. He knew what was going to happen. And see, from the beginning of time, God had this planned. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He said, you know, even though you tried to kill Jesus, even though you tried to take out God, God is in control. God can overcome. God can overcome. He raised Jesus up from the dead. And this was his sermon. This is where he begins to preach in verse 25. He says, for David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. We find these same verses in Psalm 16 and verses 8 through 11. He says, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us today. And what is he saying here? He's saying that he will make known unto him the way of life, that he would not be left into hell. He says, skipping to verse 30, therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with him an oath that the first of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. They were witnessing of God raising Jesus up from the dead. There were some still alive at that time. They had seen that with their eyes. He wasn't there in the tomb when the rock was rolled away. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed for this which ye now see and hear. He gave the Holy Spirit to them that the Holy Spirit might indwell in their hearts and in their lives. He said, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he said unto himself, what did he say? The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, referring to Jesus, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make my foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he wanted them to know who Jesus is. And he told them about Christ. First, he gave them the gospel, and he continued to tell them about Jesus. And he's preaching to them, and he's telling him those things. And conviction begins to set in their hearts. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? He just preached the gospel to them. He just gave the message to them. He just told them how they can believe. And this is what Peter says. Listen, I'm going to tell you what you can do. And what does he say? Repent. And what? Be baptized. Be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, that was the message of the church back then. Come and believe. Come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. After you receive Jesus Christ, after you repent, then you are baptized. It's not you be baptized and then you repent. It's not be baptized and then you are saved. But it's be saved. Know Jesus as your Savior. Trust in Him and then be baptized. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. He's saying the Spirit will control you. You need to call on Jesus and to be saved. To be saved. That's what was going on there at that first church service. And guess what happened after He gave the message, after He told them exactly what to do to repent and be baptized? Verse 41 says, and then they, not everyone there, but they that gladly received His word, the they that believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior, they received His word and they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about how many? 3,000 souls. 3,000 people got saved that day. And 3,000 people got baptized that day. I think Peter and the other 10 that were down there, maybe they even had some of helpers that were there. But could you imagine going down into the pool, dunking them down, bringing them up, dunking them down, bringing them up? 3,000. Hope you brought your lunch and your picnic basket with you on that day. It takes a while to baptize 3,000 people. And it says in verse 42 that they continued in steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers, breaking of bread and in prayers they continued to meet together. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods. They parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what happened that day. That's what continued on after that day. They continued to meet that was there. You know what? There are many things that we could take away from this passage, and we're mainly going to focus on verses 41 through 47. But friend, why do you come to church? Why do you come to Caseysville Bible Church? What is your purpose here? And I believe there are several things that we can take away from verse 41 through verse 47 and why we come here. Why do we come here? We come here to hear the gospel. We do. That's why they came to church. Verse 41, they that gladly received His word. They received His word. The gospel was preached. And friend, the gospel needs to be preached. And there needs to be a continual preaching of the good news of the gospel. That's what gospel means. It means good news. Now you say, Pastor, most of us that are come in, we come here week after week after week. And we hear the gospel week after week after week. And you know what? We need to be reminded of the gospel. We need to be reminded that Jesus died on the cross. We need to be reminded that Jesus gave His blood. We need to be reminded that Jesus was put in the tomb. And we need to be reminded that Jesus came alive 3 days later. That's the good news. That's the good news that we have. And that's exactly what baptism is. It identifies us with Christ. We have died like Christ has died, and we've been raised again to new life to serve. And we need to hear it so we can give it to others. The world around us needs the gospel. Because without Jesus, without being saved, where are they going to go? They're going to die and they're going to be separated from God and they're going to be in a place called hell. And eventually that place called hell is going to be given up to a lake of burning fire where they will burn forever. And the fire will not be quenched. They need to hear it, so we need to hear it so we can give it to others. Why? Because it's the good news. It's the good news, friend. We have a good time whenever we come here and whenever we sing songs about the good news. How we are complete in Christ. Why? Because of the work on the cross that He did for us. Friend, we can sit here and sing that we have an anchor that holds. Why? Not because of anything that we have done. Man, we don't have an anchor that we can throw down. Our ship's gone all over the sea. But Jesus is our anchor. He is the one that holds. Why? Because of the good news that He offers. And friend, that's why we bring others to church. That's why we have special days here. To celebrate not only the things of the church, not only to celebrate folks outside of the church and accomplishments that have been done, but we bring others in so that they might hear the gospel, that they might know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And friend, it says that they gladly received His word. The word was preached. The gospel was given. And friend, we come here to hear the gospel. And every week it's going to be given out. Why? So that we might know, so that we might have a fresh reminder, so that we can know the good news about God. Why do we come here to church? Number two, those that got saved, they were baptized. They were baptized. That's one of the two ordinances that God gave to the church. The other ordinance we observed last week, by partaking of the Lord's Supper. And here we have baptism. Number one, they received His word, they got saved. And then number two, they got baptized. They got baptized. And friends, there are all kinds of misconceptions about baptism and what baptism does. And friend, as far as salvation is concerned, baptism doesn't do anything for us as far as salvation is concerned. Friend, if you're not saved before you're baptized, guess what? You're going in a dry sinner and you're coming out a wet one. That's what it is. It says that they got saved first. They believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior. They trusted in Him. And friend, maybe you're here today and maybe you're in that camp, you're in that category. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He wants you to be saved. He wants you not only to know the good news, but He wants you to believe and accept Jesus Christ in your heart and to know Him. And after you know Him, after you have believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wants you to be baptized. Why? Because it identifies yourself with Jesus. It identifies yourself with His work. Whenever we take and whenever you go under the water, okay, if the preacher or whoever's doing the baptizing holds you down there long enough, you're going to start sucking water through your gills, aren't you? And like a fish, you ain't going to be able to breathe underwater if you get enough water in you. And so that represents death. You're dying with Jesus. And that's the way that God looks at it. And whenever that pastor brings you up out of the water, oh, you're never so more glad to get a breath of air into your body. And that's the new life that is there and the new life that you can serve in Jesus. And that's the way that God looks at you if you know Christ as your Savior. He doesn't see the old April. He doesn't see the old Barb. He doesn't see the old Rod. But he sees the new life that is there. You say, why didn't he change my name? You know what? We get that sometimes with the kids. You ever do that whenever you're younger? Okay. You have a friend, maybe remember whenever you were 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years old. You know what? Sometimes we got that with our kids whenever they were younger. Mom, I don't like my name. I kind of like this other name, Jessica. A Jessica from now on. Can you call me Jessica for the rest of my life? Well, you know, whenever we get to heaven, the Bible says what? There's a name written for us on a stone. You know what? We ought to be baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, we're going to have a baptism service in August. And that would be the time to get baptized, to show others around you, to identify with Christ. And what a great thing that does. Now, you know, we have other things in our life that identify us. You know, whenever we first see someone, we can identify them. This right here. There it comes. Good thing it's hard to get off, huh? What does this identify me? Married, yeah. I'm married. This identifies me as being married. Now that I took this off, does that mean that I'm not married now? No. No, I am still married. That's the way it is with baptism. Baptism identifies us with Christ. They watched people being baptized. They watched people identifying themselves with Christ. So they came, they got saved, and they were baptized. And what a great thing that we can have here at church. That we can have baptisms, that we can have the Lord's Supper, that we can sit back and that we can hear people sing and watch those good works of God happening. What else did they have there in that first church service? Verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued hearing the apostles' doctrine. Now, Pastor Greg, what in the world was the apostles' doctrine? Well, let me ask you something. Whose apostles were they? Jesus. It's okay to talk in church. Come on. Jesus. Those apostles were Jesus' apostles. He called them unto himself. And he is the one that taught them. He is the one that took them into the wilderness and prayed with them. And you know what? Even though they fell asleep on him, he still woke them up and said, hey, come on, we got to pray. You know what, they prayed together and he opened up the scriptures unto them and he told them about God's word. And they came to hear the word of God. That's what it was, the apostles' doctrine, the words of Christ. And why is this important? We need to come and we need to hear God's word. Why is this important? Well, number one, because it feeds us. It feeds our soul. It gives us something spiritually to eat in our lives. Number two, it battles false teaching that is there. It's important that we know what the Bible says. It's important that the Bible goes out. And friend, the early church, they came and they met. And in fact, it says that they met what? How often? In verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. There's another verse. Verse 46, I'm sorry. And they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, they met. They met daily. They met. They came every day and they met together every single day. Now, for us here today, that's kind of hard, practically speaking, in our lives. But what is that saying? It's saying that God wants us to be here. There's an importance to meeting and coming together. It's important for us to be here. It's important to hear God's word. It's important for us to be here in Sunday school. It's important for us to be here on Sunday night. It's important for us to be here on Wednesday night. Why? Because it's a time of study. Why? Because it's a time of praying. It's good to be here whenever we have special services and we have the speakers come in. Why? Because they're reminding us of God's word. They're telling us of God's word. They're telling us about missions that are going out. And friend, what a great thing that it is. Man, I've been enjoying Sunday school and being over there and learning about the temple, the tabernacle of God. And today we're talking about how that relates to Jesus and really how that relates to our lives. And man, building us up. And man, what some great teachers that we have that are here. Man, coming in on Wednesday night and being able to get together and to pray for each other, to hear about the heartaches and the struggles that we have together with each other. Friend, there's a lot of us here that are struggling with some of the same things that people on the other side are struggling with, and see, these people are struggling with some of the same things as these people on these sides are struggling with, but we just don't know. And you want to know why? Because we don't talk about it. We don't talk, but whenever we come and whenever we pray, we begin to talk about some of those things. We begin to get a little more real with each other. And friend, what a great time that we have on Wednesday nights. What a great time on Sunday nights and coming and fellowshipping and singing songs that honor and glorify the Lord and learning more about God, especially through the book of Hebrews or whatever the message may be on. And friend, if we think that 1 hour a week is going to be good for us or is going to help us, it is going to. But if we step back and we look at the picture, 1 hour a week versus 30 to 40 hours a week of the world battling against us, whether it comes by folks that we run into, whether it comes by television that we watch, whatever it may be, the world is battling against us. We need to be here as much as we possibly can. There was a saying even going around that we need 3 to thrive. 3 to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We get fed in our souls. You know what? They came together. They came together daily, steadfastly, learning about God's word, learning the apostles' doctrine. Next, it says there that they came together not only for God's word, the apostles' doctrine, but they came there for fellowship. What a great thing that is. They came there for friendship. There's a word there that's used in the New Testament called koinonia. Koinonia means friendship. It means a fellowship. And friend, we need like-minded friends. We need to be here for fellowship. Why? Because we need help. That's okay to admit that. I need help. Let's say that together. I need help. I need help. You've all taken the first step to solving your problem. I need help. You know what? Some say that Christians get together because they are weak and because they need a crutch. Amen. That's me. I'm weak. I need help. I need a crutch, and that crutch is Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I need Him to work in my life. I need Him to point sin out in my life so that I can get right and get on board with Him. And what a great thing that is. We need fellowship with each other. And friend, you will influence the other people around you, and they will influence you. They will. It does. It happens. I see it happen here on a weekly basis. And that's a good thing whenever we can have a brother or a sister in the Lord that can lift us up, that can point us towards Christ. And what a great thing that that is. Turn over in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 20. I'm sorry, I said Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. See, I need help, church. I need help. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Church should be the center of your life. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Shall be wise. You know, it's from good folks here that we can take and we can get good, godly counsel in situations that we face in our lives. But what's the retrospect in that verse? But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what? I'm not trying to be mean. I worked with some great people in my life. But you know what? They couldn't give me guidance the way that I need guidance in the way that some folks from church have helped me and guided me in my life. But friend, there are folks of this world, they're unwise. The Bible calls them fools if they don't know Jesus as their Savior. He wants us to walk with wise men. He wants us to walk with people that are saved. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have anything to do with sinners. That doesn't mean that we cast them out. We need to be a friend of them because Jesus was. What a great thing to be here. What a great thing to come and hear God's word. What a great thing to have fellowship. And friend, maybe you've been going here for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, and you say, no, I don't know anyone. I have a hard time connecting with someone that's here. Kind of have a hard time believing that here. But maybe that's you. You have a hard time opening up to someone. Do you know what? Get over it. It's okay, get over it. Do you know how you get over it? You go up and you say, hey, Lamont, how's it going today? It's good to see you, man. And you shake someone's hand and you begin to talk with them and you begin to open up to them. Hey, Sean, how's it going today, man? How was your week this week? And you begin to talk to each other and you begin to open up to each other. And from what a great thing that that is. Maybe sometime after the service, say, hey, you want to go to lunch together? Man, I'd love to go to your lunch together. Pastor, I'm poor. I can't take anybody else. That's all right. I like the 2-for-1 deal at McDonald's. Let's go, man. Okay? Just take them out. Just have a word of fellowship. Just sit down. Just eat. Just what a great thing that that is. Friend, we need to be here, to come together for fellowship. You know what a great time next week that we're going to have over here in a time of fellowship, of bringing in food and breaking bread together and just knowing each other a little bit more. Here's a little challenge for you. Sit out of your comfort zone. What's that? The table that you normally sit at. Sit at a different table with different people. And you can learn a whole new different set of problems that they have. We come together for fellowship just like they did. They came together for fellowship. Not only that, back in Acts chapter 2, what does it say? They came together in the breaking of bread. Now, what does that mean? I think to a point it means that they had communion together. They observed the Lord's Supper together. But I think it has a bigger meaning than that. They broke bread together. They ate together. You know what? There's something about just sitting down and just eating with someone else. Why? It just kind of lets down our guard a little bit. Hey, they're chewing a little bit like a cat. We're chewing a little bit like a cat. We're spilling the drink. It's all right. We all need help, don't we? We've already admitted it. We need help. And you know, we get to talking and we get to open up each other. And what a great thing that is. This is what they came and they did daily. They broke bread with each other. What a great thing that is that we can do. and talking with each other. Not only that, it says they came and they offered prayers. It says in prayers, they continued in prayers. They prayed for each other. Friend, I'm not trying to be mean or boost myself up. I like praying for people. You give me a request, I'm going to pray for it. Why? Because I know God can't do a lick about it. But I know the one who can. It's good for us to take it to Him. It's good for us to pray together, to breathe together. You want to know something else that I love? You're not going to offend me if you tell me that you're praying for me. Why? Because I need help. I need all the help that I can get. I need as much help from God as what I can get. That's one of the things that I love whenever we come and whenever we pray together. Whenever we make our requests known unto each other. And friend, if you think that you're getting the full gamut on this little sheet right here, let me tell you, you're missing out so much on Wednesday nights if you're not here. And what a great thing it is that we can come and pray together. There's probably 10 or 15 more requests that I didn't write down on there, and that's okay. Get there. Come there. Get involved with it. Be a prayer. I love it whenever people pray for me. And you know what? People are loving it whenever they are praying for you or you are praying for them. Why? Because we need help. We need help. We need Jesus. They came together to pray together. Friend, they came together to give. They came together to give. Verse 43, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they all had common things. And what does verse 45 say? They sold. Now what did they sell? They just didn't go into the temple and rummage the temple, even though there was gold in the temple. They didn't go over to their neighbor and say, hey, I need this. And take from them and sold. It says, and they sold their possessions and their goods, and they parted them to all men, as every man had need. They came and they gave. They were givers, and what a great opportunity that we have, not only to come, but to give. But to give. To give on a Sunday morning. Our tithes and our offerings. To give on Sunday night. To give on Wednesday night. To not just give of our money, but also to give of our time. To give of our resources. To come and bring our scissors on a Thursday night when we could be sitting down and watching something or fishing at the lake and sit there and cut out those blankets that the kids, when they put together, they're probably going to mess them up at some point. It's okay. We all need help. You see those little kids running around. You need help too. You need help too. We come to give. We come to meet the needs of others. And that's what happens whenever we give. You meet the needs of a pastor and a family. You meet the needs of a church. We meet the needs of people in this area. We meet the needs of all these faces of people that we see over here. Missionaries that go out and that give the gospel on a daily basis. That teach in Christian schools. That help other missionaries. We give to help. And because of our giving, we're able to send missionaries around the world so that the gospel might go out. It's one of the reasons why we come. Friend, we come to give praise. Verse 47. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. Friend, we come to praise God. I love it. That's why we come, and that's why we start off with a song. That's why we start off with a fellowship course or a fellowship hymn. Why? Because we come to praise God. And after that, we have a fellowship time where we go around and we shake hands. And from what a great time we come in praising God. We come to just praise Him. If that's all we ever did, that would be okay. To come and to praise God. And why is that important to praise God? Turn back in your Bible to Psalm 22, verse 3. Psalm 22, verse 3. Let's read this together. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. So what is God in? God is in our praises. Yeah. He inhabits our praises. Whenever we come to praise God. You know what? If we're in a song service and you feel like raising your hand in the air and shouting and praising God, that's okay. That's fine. Praise God. Give a testimony unto Him. And what a great thing that God is in the praises that we say unto Him. It's like a sweet incense that goes up to Him. The praises of God. Psalm 150 verses 1 through 6, it says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in the sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Every time you play your trumpet, you're praising God. Praise Him in the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Yes, we can praise Him while we're dancing. There's a praise in dancing to God. Oh man, I don't know. That don't sound like a Bible church. That's what the Bible says. The timbrel, those big, loud sounding instruments. Yeah, there's praise to God in those. There's a praise to Him. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the organs, the pianos and the guitars and the organs that are being played and all the, praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Boy, it kind of sounds like there's a lot of loud noise there. That kind of goes against what our typical view of what church is like, isn't it? But those things are okay to praise God with. They're okay. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We can come to a service to praise God. Friend, maybe you have an instrument that you want to play. Maybe you have one that you don't want to play. That's all right. Get up here and play it. God wants to hear it. He wants you to praise Him. And you know what? The more you play it, the better you're going to get. And the more you're going to want to hear it, the more we're going to want to hear it. And we can be a praise unto God. And friend, what a great thing that we can see in this early, this first church service that was there. And the things that they were doing and the reason that they were coming together. And friend, that's why we come together here at Caseysville Bible Church. We come here to hear the gospel. And friend, if there comes a time that there becomes a drought of the gospel at this church, you need to get rid of the preacher and get another one. Because we come here to hear the gospel. We come here to see people get saved. We come here to see people get baptized. We come here to encourage others. Oh, boy, I don't know if I feel like going to church today. I feel like sleeping in. I feel like going fishing. I feel like being at an amusement park. There's someone here today that needs you. There's someone here today that needs your encouragement. There's someone here today that needs your prayers. And friend, there's a whole world, there's a whole area outside these walls of people that need Jesus. They do. And we need to bring them in that they might hear the gospel, that they might be saved. Friend, I'm so glad that we come together for friendship, for breaking of bread, for eating. I'm telling you, man, I am going to miss next week being over there. Why? Because y'all can cook good, and I like eating it, and I like fellowship, and I like talking. And friend, what a great thing that we can come to give, and that we can come to praise God. From the very moment that Satan tries to put the thought in your mind of, man, that church don't need me, man, I don't need to be there. Let me tell you something, God has something else to say about that. Because you are needed. You are wanted. You and I need help. And God is there to give it.